Good morning. I'll just get myself sorted out here. Turn to the person next to you and say, I have read the end of the book. And we win. Now turn back to the same person and say, I'm not convinced that you're convinced. Now say it again. We win. I can't hear you. We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are everything. Thank you that in you we have all things. Thank you that Jesus Christ came for us. Thank you that he is the cornerstone of everything that we believe in. Thank you for his blood shed on the cross. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Dwell within us. Show us what you want us to know. And keep that first and foremost in our minds, Lord, today. We win. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our series in Nehemiah, and today we're going to carry on in chapter 4, after a great sermon last week that set the scene. Today, Nehemiah 4, 15 to 23, a time to build, a time to fight. Okay, this is not going to work for me, and it is on. We'll see how we go. I love modern technology. Do you like modern technology? You know, when they first actually created the computer, they said that within 5 years, we'd only be working 20 hours every week because the computers would do it all for us. What a joke that was. Last week, in the first part of the chapter, we saw Nehemiah and his people facing opposition. Now, the opposition came from various sources. First, there was the opposition from the outside, from without. And these people were unionized. They were angry, they were wily, and they were ruthlessly determined to stop the work by any means possible. But they also faced opposition from within themselves, through discouragement and the voices of their peers suggesting to them that they give up. Sound familiar? Nehemiah responded to this in four ways. He prayed to God. He set a watch. He armed the people. And he encouraged them with a stirring speech, reminding them of the truth that God is still God. We win. The results were the deterring of the enemy without and the defeat of the enemy within, resulting in the walls continuing to be built. And today we pick up this historical account at Nehemiah 4, 15. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand, doing the work with the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. I have to pause there. We have to pause there. Our God will fight for us. Six words that delight the heart. Our God will fight for us. So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time, I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water. Amen. Nehemiah set his people to not only build, but to fight if necessary. And there are many lessons to be learned through this. As Christians, are we building with one hand and ready to fight with the other? Are we building good habits in prayer and Bible study? Are we building good habits in evangelism and good works, in humbleness and love? Are we becoming more like Jesus every day? Are we actively planning our education daily to bring about that result? Nehemiah was organized and he was ready for anything. The people didn't even take off their clothes. Do we have the armor of God on at all times? Are we ready in season and out of season to preach the good news that Jesus saves? On the other hand, are we ready to fight for the glory of God and the name of his Son? Are we ready to defend the faith, and in particular, the veracity of the Word of God? Are we training ourselves in apologetics and becoming all things to all people that we might win some to Christ? Are we being tested and approved as workers worthy of the name Christian? People, I'm not just challenging you this morning. I'm challenging myself. I believe that at the bottom of everything that we're doing, the spiritual war that we fight comes down to a fight between truth and lie. We must defend our faith. We must defend the Word of God. We must stop those who seek to make it nothing but a fairy story. Like Nehemiah and his retinue were, we need to be diligent. We need to work hard. We need to be unified. There is no room, as the Bible says, for foolish arguments amongst us. We must stand together on what is important, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. We must be organized and fight the fight smarter. We must do what God tells us to do when God tells us to do it. We must be obedient to spiritual authority that God has placed over us. For in that there is protection, and in that there is peace. And we must deny ourselves daily until the work is done, knowing that in the same way that we deny ourselves, our God will always give us what we need. Knowing that his burden is easy, his yoke. Sorry, I got that back to front. Please wave at me if I quote scripture wrong, please. It's very bad. But you know what I mean. Are we growing in the skills of building the kingdom and defending it? Are we growing? I challenge my students all the time. If you're prepared to put effort into studying so that you graduate, get a job, and one day have enough money to buy your good old teacher an orange Lamborghini. Oh, sorry, rabbit trail. If you're prepared to study to graduate and get a job, then how much more so should we put effort into studying God's word, which will last for eternity? Physics? No, God can ignore that. when he feels like it, because he created it. But the word of God will continue on forever, am I right? We need to study God's word so that we can further God's kingdom here on earth. We must build up with one hand and strike down with the other. Our enemies as well come from within and from without. And I believe, as I've said before, that the ones that lie within us are by far the most deadly. Apathy, fear, any sin, you name it. If we don't conquer these, then we will not last long against the enemy without. Ephesians 6 tells us we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this dark age. They are constantly whispering to us discouragement, fear, apathy, distraction. We are also told that it is God that brings the increase. So the message is clear. We need to build with one hand and be prepared to fight with the other. Now, if this sounds a little bit like the Sunday school song, read your Bible, pray every day, then you'd be right. Sing it with me. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll... There you go. Is it really that simple? Yeah. You don't build walls unless your foundation is strong. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Get the foundation right and the walls will be straight. Stick Jesus Christ on the corner of that foundation as your cornerstone and everything will be right from then on. Keep doing it. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And if you think you've heard that before, you'd be right. And you've probably heard me say this before as well. Juan Carlos Ortiz, in his book Disciple, tells of how he preached on love. And then the next week he preached on love again. And then the next week he preached on love again. And one of his elders said, "When are you going to stop preaching on love?" His answer was, "When you start doing it." Read your Bible, pray every day. We're going to keep saying it. Read your Bible, pray every day. It's the foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. Start there. Anything in your life, start there. Anything. I don't think there's... Yeah, anything. Read your Bible, pray every day. How many of you have ever bought exercise equipment? You know, dumbbells, things like this, yeah. How long was it before it was sitting there gathering dust? Yes. Doctors tell you that if you want to get fit, then you should raise your heart rate and move your muscles. Raise your heart rate, move your muscles. Read your Bible, pray every day. Raise your heart rate, move your muscles. Read your Bible, pray every day. We have all of these amazing concordances, study Bibles. We have all these incredible things that we can use. But sometimes it's a little bit like exercise equipment. They sit there and they gather dust. We don't use them. I'm guilty. Very guilty. I confessed to somebody this morning that there was a book that I read. The only reason I read this really good book was because it was free with an app. Shocking, isn't it? Read your Bible. Pray every day. Get your heart pumping. Move your muscles spiritually. Because then you do things smarter, like Nehemiah did. Have we got time? I think we've got time. The fittest time in my life, I was working on a farm. My exercise equipment were these white woolly things that smell called sheep. And at one stage, I had to move a mob of sheep from one place to another in scorching hot Canterbury Norwest winds in New Zealand. And one of the sheep was not well and could not walk properly. So I picked this thing up, put it over my shoulders, and in 40 degrees Celsius, walked for an hour with a woolen sheep on me. And I arrived back triumphant with the sheep and all the others. And the boss looked at me, and I was waiting for the boss to turn around and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And he looked at me, and he said, "Why didn't you leave it there and go back with the truck? Yeah. Have you ever been like that in your Christian walk? Where you do a whole lot of work, and if you'd actually talked to God first, it would have saved you a whole heap of trouble. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And you'll be like Nehemiah was on the walls. You'll have exactly what it is that you need to know to do. So we build up with one hand and we strike down with the other, remembering that Jesus is the cornerstone of our walls. We set our sights on him, and he tells us and shows us what to do. Build up knowledge of Jesus Christ and his saving work in our lives and others. That's what we're building up. Strike down, fight against so-called knowledge that sets itself up against Jesus Christ and his saving work. In particular, anything that attacks the immutable word of God. Because Jesus and his historical place rides on the Bible. We must defend the Bible at all costs. Because it is the foundation of everything that we believe. And the foundation of the proof that Jesus Christ is real. Some people say to me, "Jesus Christ was just a good man." Have you heard that one? Sorry, he said he was God. So either he was God, crazy, or a liar. We must defend the Bible. The rebuilding of the walls symbolizes the building, strengthening, and defense of the kingdom of God. May your kingdom come, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Now, I have, for a very long time, had a fascination with knights and chivalry. Add to that the imagery of the army of God, and I like to imagine myself, please don't judge me, I like to imagine myself a knight of the king, armed and dangerous, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do battle against the dragon. Because, as I said at the beginning, I've read the end of the book, we win. Knights, or at least the good ones, had a code, and so do I. The Word of God, embodied in Jesus Christ, our banner of love and our captain. Build up, strike down. Build up, strike down. Build the kingdom. Build your ability to be like Jesus. Build up your brothers and sisters in arms. Strike down opposition to God's kingdom. Strike down evil in the world and in ourselves. We edify and we challenge. Edify and challenge. Build up, strike down. Build up, strike down. Build, fight. All knights need a cause, and our cause is just. Our cause is to preach Jesus and him crucified, to snatch people from the very gates of hell themselves. Are you ready to build? Are you ready to fight? Well, you may be sitting here thinking, "I think I'm ready." Well, ready has two meanings. First of all, the inclination. I want to do it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to try. I'm ready to give it a go. And I often find myself, I'm there. I'm ready. I have the inclination. I have the fact that I want to do it. But ready also means the skills. When I first got behind the wheel of a car, I was not ready. I nearly took out our garage door because my mother forgot to tell me where the brakes were. I had the inclination, but I didn't have the skills yet. So not only do we need to be ready, but we need the skills. Read your Bible, pray every day, midweek groups, Bible studies, get that exercise equipment called study Bibles out, dust it off. Talk with fellow believers, iron sharpens iron. We need to build the skills as well. Because you see, fighting helps to make building possible, and building helps to make us better fighters. Two sides of the same coin. For instance, if sin gets the upper hand in our lives, then the edifying and building ceases. If we cease to build, we lose the strength to fight. If we cease to fight, we lose the strength to build. We either spiral upward or we spiral downward. There is no sitting in the fence. There is no halfway. You can't sit on the fence. It's electric. Spiral up or spiral down. Imagine if Nehemiah's people had given in to fear. Imagine if Nehemiah had. Imagine if they'd fought with each other rather than focusing on the true enemy. We too must keep the cause of Jesus Christ foremost in our thoughts. As the song says, all other ground is sinking sand. Nehemiah and his retinue, by building the walls, made the fight easier for their future. And in the same way, becoming more mature and well-versed in the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of God makes it easier for us to deny sin and defend our faith. We must continue to grow. I would imagine that the building of the walls exercised and strengthened their muscles, making them better able to fight. In the same way that we strengthen ourselves in ministry by actually performing the good works God has set out for us to do. Growth in grace makes us more like our captain. And the resulting strength we gain can bring us a peace that the world will never know. As we look at the walls we have built in the service of God's kingdom, others too can look and see that God reigns when we have our lives in order and are being Christ to a dying world. There is one warning I feel obliged to give, though, because it's very easy to lose the balance between building and fighting. For instance, and I've said this before too, as we fight against sin, we can forget that to build good habits into our lives crowds out the sin we are fighting. Doing nothing but fighting is a little like someone who's trying not to eat chocolate, chanting all day, "I will not eat chocolate. I will not eat chocolate. I will not eat chocolate." What's your mind full of? Chocolate? I'm running a deal with the local. No, I'm just kidding. Rather than doing that, it is better to go buy a carrot and eat that instead. Similarly too, in defense of the faith, we can win an argument and lose a friend by forgetting to be speaking the truth in love. The emphasis in Nehemiah was to build the walls and to defend them if it was necessary. For us too, our emphasis must be on building. Remember also Nehemiah's words from verse 20, "Our God will fight for us." Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. We are not alone. He tells us where and when to fight. You see, when people do the works of God, evil will always rise up against it, just as it did in Nehemiah's time. But always remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? We can have courage and confidence of victory if we meditate on this. One of the greatest evils I face within myself is when the fear of opposition threatens to stop me before I even start. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our God will fight for us. These are truths we must dwell on often. We must not be double-minded. we must be God-minded. This year we're talking about fight the good fight of faith. You will fight harder if you know the cause you're fighting for. And the cause we're fighting for is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we need a steady diet every day of thankfulness to our Savior for what He's done. Nothing we do for Him will seem to be a problem if we keep first and foremost in our minds that He died and rose again and took the keys to death and hell, so that we now have nothing left to fear ever again. Jesus is the cornerstone of our walls. Build up with one hand and strike down with the other. Build up the knowledge of Jesus Christ and His saving work in our lives and others. Strike down so-called knowledge that sets itself up against Jesus Christ and His saving work, and anything that attacks the unchanging Word of God. Is it really that simple? Yes, I believe it is. Christ and Him crucified. All else is folly, chasing after the wind. The main thing is still the main thing. If we're going to build the walls of our lives in a worthy manner, then let us build it on a foundation that is Christ and Him crucified. At the end of time, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. Now you may be asking yourself, God is God and I'm not. He is all powerful. Why do I need to fight? If God will fight for us, why do I need to fight at all? Now, obviously, we need to fight against the things within ourselves. So here I'm specifically talking about the enemy without and defending the faith. But you see, that's the wrong attitude. Because it's a privilege. Yes, God doesn't need us to fight for Him. He could arrive on this planet and everyone would know that He is real. But if He did, that would be the end, and no time to make a choice. Does God need us to fight for His cause? The answer is no, He does not need us, but He gives us the privilege. It is a privilege and a measure of His trust placed in us that we are called to fight and build for Him. What an awesome honor, what an awesome privilege to fight for the One who saved us. And don't in any way think that that earns our salvation, because it cannot. Those of you who've got kids or have been one yourself at one stage, kids in the kitchen, the first time little kids want to help you in the kitchen, oh my goodness, they make a mess. And you could do it yourself, right? And make less mess. But because you love them, you let them do it. And you're proud of them while they're doing it. Because they're learning. Because it's changing them. And because one day they will grow up to be able to do all these things as well, if not better, than you can. This is not the perfect picture, but I think it is a picture of how God looks at us. We are His children. So when you mess up in the kitchen and God has to come along and help fix it, just remember, He loves you and your God will fight for you. You see, just as prayer changes us more than it changes anything else, so fighting spiritually in all its forms changes us and makes us more like Jesus, so the world can see. For sure, God doesn't need us. But praise Jesus that we are allowed and called to fight for his name. What an honor. We are together an army, the army of the Lord, building the walls, building the kingdom on the cornerstone of Christ. We are knights of the King. We may not agree on everything, but we must unite in our war against the enemy and in our praise of Jesus Christ. Imagine what would have happened to the rebuilding of the walls if the enemy had managed to create division in Nehemiah's workers. As knights of the King, we must follow the code, and the code is Jesus himself and all that he teaches us about how we should act and live. The study of his techniques will last us until the end of days. And I, as I'm sure you do too, work towards the day when I hope to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into your rest." Because I've read the end of the book, and what? We what? I can't hear you. We what? Yeah, we win. We won. Don't you love tenses in the English language? Sorry, in joke. Will you join me in this fight? I'm not saying you're not fighting. I'm not saying you're not fighting already. I'm asking you to join with me. I'm asking us to join together. I'm asking us to fight as one. Now, if you want to join with me, if you want to fight together, then how about we say this together? You can stand if you want, sit if you want, kneel if you want, whatever you feel comfortable with. But I'm going to read this out. And if you want to, read it with me. And let's make a statement together today, as I'm sure Nehemiah and his workers did as they were rebuilding the walls. I, Ian Kirby, do this day pledge anew that I will fight for my King. Side by side with my brothers and sisters, I will cast down every word that seeks to set itself up against my God, whether it be in the mouths of another or deep within my own heart. I will not lift my hand against my brothers and sisters, but will support them in prayer with the grace and mercy of Jesus as my banner to carry into battle. If any seems to fall from the way, I will seek to bring them back to Jesus with love and compassion, but I will never compromise what I know to be true, even if it means having to speak a truth that will make others conscious of their sin. Jesus Christ is enough for me, and I will fight for his name until the last breath leaves my body or until he comes again, whichever comes first. Holy Spirit, fill me anew with your fruits and your gifts so that I may better serve my King and the Son. Amen. Can you feel the gates of hell trembling? Because when the people of God stand up together, if God be for us, what can be against us? Our God will fight for us. We win. Amen. We win. If you're here today and you have never bowed the knee to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I need you. Save me." Please, talk to the Christian friends who brought you. Talk to me. Talk to one of the elders. Do not leave here today without making that decision. Join the army of the living God. Join the army of Jesus. We would be happy to explain more about it to you. As the worship team comes up, we're going to pray one more time. Dear God, I thank you. for who you are. I thank you for what you do. I thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. I thank you that we know we serve a Savior who still lives. Help us to build up with one hand and strike down with the other. Teach us, Lord, make us more like your Son. Thank you that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. May we look to him for all things. Holy Spirit, I pray especially for anyone here who is discouraged today. Where the fight is hard and the hand is heavy holding the sword of the Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen us for the fight. Strengthen us to build and to fight. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.